Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the instructions and the encouragement that it gives us. Lord, we thank you for the story and how you have intervened in our histories and how you want us to be involved with you and to have a relationship with you. Just be with us this morning as we hear from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So last time someone was up here and speaking, they were talking about Elijah and doing a bit of research and stuff. I found that our story today is about King Hezekiah. And this whole story starts about 50 years after Elijah and all the things that happened there. We're going to be dealing mostly with Hezekiah was a king of Judah, and from Ahab, where we heard the story of Elijah, there's about nine kings that have gone on before him. And most of the kings of Judah were kind of iffy, and most of them didn't really follow the Lord too well. Hezekiah's father wasn't one of the best. He actually introduced a lot of Baal worship and a lot of idols and things that were into the high places and stuff like that. He also got involved in a lot of politics in the area, and when the king of Assyria really wanted to take over, he started paying a tribute and got under Assyrian law to some degree. But when we started looking at the life of Hezekiah, we find that whatever his upbringing was, he became really dedicated to God. He followed all the laws that David did, the laws of Moses. He stopped paying tribute to the king of Assyria. And kind of because of that, he also, that's why Assyria started and came, coming to invade. He opened and restored the temple. Chronicles says he even restored the festival or the rite of Passover and some of the things that were involved in that. So he destroyed all the high places and all the places of worship of Baal and a couple other false gods. He even destroyed the staff of Moses. Remember when Moses and the Israelites were going into the desert, he had a staff with a serpent on it, and the people prayed, saw that, and worshiped God, and got healed. Well, a lot of the people in Hezekiah's time were taking that same staff and worshiping it and giving incense that really should have gone to the Lord. So he destroyed that staff and destroyed that kind of worship. Four years into Hezekiah's reign, Assyria conquers the kingdom of Israel and puts them into slavery and exiles them and basically destroys the northern kingdom. Basically because they did not follow God. They didn't listen to him. You know, they didn't... They rejected the agreements they had made with him and ignored everything Moses had told them to do, to a point where God said, fine, I'm not dealing with this anymore. The Assyrians come, take them, and take them away. Now Hezekiah is obviously hearing this, watching this, and so he begins to get a little nervous that they're going to be coming after him, especially because he hasn't been paying tribute for a while. So Hezekiah begins to build and fortify all the walls around Jerusalem. He even builds the Shiloh tunnel, which we still have today, to bring water in during a siege. And things are going okay for a bit, but about 14 years into his reign, this is where, if you look in your Bible in 2 Kings 18, 19, and 20, they said that about 14 years, chapter 20 actually is in the middle in about this 14-year reign of his. And that's the time where Hezekiah gets sick unto death. And he really gets upset about this and really cries out to the Lord. And the Lord hears his cry and heals him. But at the same time, he says, okay, I'm going to do this, but you only got 15 more years to live. And Hezekiah said, is basically picks it up and really understands what is happening in his life and really understands what God is doing. After that, in the 14th year of his reign, Assyria invades the kingdom of Judah, capturing all the cities except for Jerusalem, laying siege to them all. And that is that time that Sennacherib again demands payment from Hezekiah. And Hezekiah goes, okay, I'll give you this stuff so you won't invade me. But Hezekiah does that, strips all the gold and silver from the temple and gives it to him. But Sennacherib still sends some guys, and they basically said, well, we don't care if you gave us your gold or not. We want you to submit. And so they send a couple of guys to the aqueduct, and they start outside the gates and start yelling and taunting. And I just want to read what some of the things they were saying. One of the Assyrian commanders told him, I have a message for Hezekiah from the great king of Assyria. Ask Hezekiah why he feels so sure of himself. Does he think he can plan and win a war with nothing but words? Who is going to help him now that he has turned against the king of Assyria? Is he depending upon Egypt as its king? That's the same as leaning on a broken stick, and it will go right through his hand. Is Hezekiah now depending on the Lord your God? Didn't Hezekiah tear down all except one of the Lord's altars and places of worship? Didn't he tell the people of Jerusalem and Judea to worship all in one place? The king of Assyria wants to make a bet with him. He'll give you 2,000 horses. Let's see if you have enough troops to ride them. How could you even defeat our lowest ranking officer when you have to depend upon Egypt for its chariots and cavalry? Don't forget that it was the Lord who sent me here with orders to destroy your nation. Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said, sir, we don't want people listening to this from the wall of the city. We don't want them to understand what you're saying. So please speak to us in Arabic instead of Hebrew. And the Syrian commander said, my king sent me to speak to everyone, not just you leaders. These people will soon have to eat their own body waste and drink their own urine, and so will the three of you. Then in a loud voice, loud enough for everyone to hear, he shouted in Hebrew, listen to what the great king of Assyria says. Don't be fooled by Hezekiah. He can't save you. Don't trust in him when he tells you that the Lord will protect you from the king of Assyria. Stop listening to Hezekiah. Pay attention to my king. Surrender to him. He will let you keep your own vineyards, fig trees, and cisterns for a while. Then he will come and take you away to a country just like yours, where you can plant vines, raise your own grain, and have plenty of olive oil and honey. Believe me, you won't starve there. Hezekiah claims the Lord will save you, but don't be fooled by him. Were any other gods able to defend their land against the king of Assyria? What happened to the gods of Hamath and Arphad? What about Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? Were the gods of Samaria able to protect their land against Assyrian forces? None of these gods kept their people safe from Assyria. Do you think the Lord your God can do any better? These are guys hearing this, and so they run back to Hezekiah and share what they're doing. And Hezekiah kind of freaks out a little bit and says, send for Isaiah. We got to tell him what's going on, what these guys are saying. And this is what I want you to say. This is what Hezekiah was saying. These are difficult and disgraceful times. Our nation is like a woman too weak to give birth when it's time for her baby to be born. Please pray for those of us who are left alive. The king of Assyria sent his army commander to insult the living God. Perhaps the Lord heard what he said and will try and do something if you pray. When the leaders went to Isaiah, he told them that the Lord had given a message for Hezekiah. He says, I am the Lord. Do not worry about insulting things that have been said about me by these messengers from the king of Assyria. I will upset him with rumors about what's happening in his own country. He'll go back and I will make him die a violent death. In the meantime, the king of Assyria hears a few things. Some people, Ethiopian king and a few others, are going to attack. So he moves to go away for a bit, but he sends another note to Hezekiah. And it reads, have you heard how we, kings of Assyria, have completely wiped out nations? What makes you feel so safe? The Assyrian kings before me destroyed the towns of Gazan, Haran, Rezavab, everyone from Eden who lived in Telsar. What good did their gods do for them? The kings of Hamath, Arphad, Sepharvaim, Harna have all disappeared. And after Hezekiah had read the note from Assyria, he took it to the temple and spread it out for the Lord to see. So he takes this letter to the Lord and he says, Lord God, these guys are taunting you, making fun of you. What are we to do? And the Lord answers him through Hezekiah. And again, I'm reading this passage because I think it's important. Isaiah went to Hezekiah and told him that the Lord God of Israel has said, Hezekiah, I heard your prayer about the king of Sennacherib. Now this is what I say to that king. The people of Jerusalem hate and make fun of you. They laugh at your back. Sennacherib, you cursed aloud. You sneered at me, the holy God of Israel. You let your officials insult me, the Lord. And here is what you have said about yourself. I led my chariots to the highest heights of Lebanon. I went deep into the forest, cutting down the best cedars and cypress trees. I dried up every stream in the land of Egypt, and I drank water from the wells I had dug. Sennacherib, listen now to me, the Lord. I planned this long ago, and you don't even realize that I alone am the one who decided that you would do these things. I will make you ruins. I let you make ruins of fortified cities. Their people became weak and terribly confused. They were like wildflowers or tender young grass growing on a flat roof, scorched before it matures. I know all about you, even how fiercely angry you are with me. I have seen your pride and and the tremendous hatred you have for me. Now I'm going to put a hook in your nose and a bit in your mouth, and I will send you back to where you came from. Hezekiah, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. This year you will eat the crops that grow on their own. Next year you will eat whatever springs up where the crops grew. But the third year you will plant grain and vineyards and you will eat what you harvest. Those who survive in Judah will be like the vine that puts down deep roots and bears fruit. I, the Lord, all-powerful, will see to it that some who live in Jerusalem will survive. I promise the king of Assyria won't get back into Jerusalem or shoot an arrow into the city or even surround it and prepared to attack. Surely I am the Lord. He will return the way he came and never enter Jerusalem. And I will protect myself and my servant, for my servant David. So basically to end this part of the story, Sennacherib hears some things. And then the very next night, God sends the angel of the Lord and he destroys 180,000 people. Some of the history books and stuff that I read said, well, of course, the Assyrians aren't going to mention that, but it's basically the reason why Sennacherib sees all these dead people and stuff and realizes, puts kind of the fear of the God into him, and he goes back to Nineveh, and a little while later, he's worshiping in his own temple, and his sons come and kill him. So, that's basically the story that we'll be discussing throughout this next week in your basic studies. And so why do we tell the story of Hezekiah? Some of the things that in reading this and studying it for the last couple weeks that really struck me. I think one of the first things that really struck me was Hezekiah was really young when he started. He was 25 years of age. His father and some of the kings before him didn't really follow God. They went their own way and worshiped their own things. But for whatever reason, it doesn't say anywhere, he has a real strong conviction to follow the Lord at a young age. And I thought that was really significant. I really admire the young men and women in our congregations that become inspired by the Lord, really grasp and want to serve Him. And I think it's really admirable that they do this and that Hezekiah did this. One of the things that I noticed even in my own life when I was younger and became really fervent about the Lord is I really wanted to serve Him and with all my heart. And so I invested into a lot of things, went to Bible college and did a few things there. But when people are young and have a new faith like this and really do, they really have a sense of purpose. And sometimes it doesn't matter what those around them or whatever are saying. They know this is what the Lord God is putting upon their heart. And they go for it. They sort of put everything aside and said, I am serving God. This is how I'm going to do it. And I really admire the young people that we have in our church that are taking up leadership, going out into various missions and stuff like that. And I really trust and pray that we as a congregation will really encourage them. I remember when I was in my second or third year of college, I was home for a while in the summer, and this couple I really didn't know came to me in the back of the church afterwards, and they said, we really admire your spirit and your fervor and how you really want to do things. But we just want to let you know that eventually that will fade and you'll become just like us. And I just sort of look at them and I said, oh, thank you. But in my head, I'm just saying, what are you saying? I'm not going to be like that. I'm gonna focus and go with what the Lord... It was such a... I'm standing here saying this today. It made such a profound impact in my life. And I said, I don't want to ever just become somebody in the pews. I want to get out there. I want to do the best I can with what the Lord is giving me. Yeah, unfortunately, in my life, things happened. And I was in ministry for a while and then got out and had a family and had to raise some support. And here I'm standing here 25 years later saying, okay, Lord, this is what you want. This is why I'm up here. And I'm saying to you young people, don't ever let someone say that to you. Don't ever let your circumstances in your life get to a point where you're burdened by everything else and you're trapped not to follow what the Lord is calling upon your life. We see that Hezekiah didn't. He did a lot of different things. He, you know, I'm sure that when he's tearing down all these things, the people who were worshiping weren't too happy with him, right? And yet he went ahead and did this. So let's try to encourage our young people. I'm trying to encourage all of us, no matter where you are, to follow the Lord if he's asking you to do something. About a year ago, Shannon and Wayne and I went to the States. And I was during that conference and talking with Shannon. He says, what do you really want to do in life? And I said, what I've always wanted to do, I wanted to be in ministry. And he says, well, why aren't you? And I said, well, life and business and debt and everything else sort of trapped me. And he goes, yeah, so? Okay, don't need to hear that. And he says, well, I'd have to go back to Bible school and stuff. And he goes, why? He says, just follow what the Lord is doing, what the Lord is asking to do, what he's put on your heart. And don't worry about everything else. And, well, here I am today. So, well, it's not just for me, but if the Lord has called you any time in your life to follow him, to be an example for, then don't worry. Take that first step and say, yes, God. I don't know how you're going to do it or what you're going to do, but I am following the path that you put me on. Doesn't matter if you're 18, 25, 40, 58, 65, or 80. If God has said to you, serve me in this way, and then begin to take those small steps and do that. The other thing that I really, when Shannon said, okay, you know, you're going to share the story on this day because I'm going to be away. And I went, oh, okay, put my money where my mouth is, sort of thing. And so he gives me this topic, and I go back, and I read about it. I read it and put it in my word, and I'm going, oh, this is really, when I really look at this whole story, I found that it was really encouraging. Because for several weeks, Shannon's been telling the story, and for the most part, it's kind of really heavy stuff, right? This king wasn't good, or this happened, and sometimes it wasn't the most inspiring. But when I read this, I got really kind of stoked, because all this other crap is happening, and yet Hezekiah goes, I'm trusting the Lord, no matter what happens. And he has victory. You know, these guys come, and they're taunting God, and they're doing all sorts of things. You know, just putting down Hezekiah himself, and the Lord, what do you want to follow him? And yet Hezekiah, the first thing I realized when I did, he doesn't really say anything to those guys that are heckling or doing things like that. He keeps us, the people, he warns the people, don't listen to these people. Just come to me and we'll deal with it. He takes it to the Lord. And that's the first thing I know. Every time something happened, Hezekiah, the first thing he does is he stops and prays. And he says, Lord, I don't know what to do here. This is beyond my control, but I'm trusting you. How will you deal with this situation? And one of the most significant things that throughout this whole patch is, which really gives us hope and inspiration, is the Lord says, I am the Lord. Don't worry about the insulting things that have been said to me about these messengers from the king of Assyria. I will upset him with rumors about what's happening in his own country. In today's world, we're finding ourselves as believers sometimes the subject of ridicule, of dismissal, and we hear a lot of stuff. If you are a Facebook person, you read a lot of stuff that really puts down the Lord. And I know that in the world we live in today, it's just becoming more and more foreign to that which I grew up with. The moral standards, the lack of faith in the majority of people around us is really appalling. The world itself has really substituted a lot of their own idols to worship. Money, possessions, leisure. And one of the big ones that I see is sports. They all take away from God as the center of our lives. And I know a lot of people that used to go to church and be quite involved, and even some who have been pastors, that slowly over time, these little things just become more and more. and to a point where they don't go to church. They don't serve God. They don't want to know God or be even associated with Him because all these little things have crept into their lives. Some kind of blatantly and quickly, some slowly. But in our world, we have a lot of little idols. And we need to deal with those in our own lives. We need to seek God out. One of the things that Hezekiah did, if he followed the laws of Moses, is he studied the Word. He knew the Word. Do we study and know the Word as much as we could, as we can? Do we knock down the idols in our own lives that come and take God from the center? Hezekiah had a great example. He watched the northern kingdom do all this worship of Baal and all these other gods to the point where God just said, okay, I'm done. You're not going to do what I asked you to do. I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. We have people in our own lives that we've seen follow in, have idols in what's happening in their life. This should be a good example for us to get down and to know the Lord. But also with Hezekiah, we see a positive, like I said earlier. We are God's people. If we focus on His Word, listen to His Spirit, and obey, then He has our backs, like He did with Hezekiah. He brought Hezekiah long life and prosperity because he focused on God. But there is a huge difference between us today and those who lived under the law of Moses. Those kings that followed after him, the people throughout Jewish history, they slid away, they backslid, came back, went away and slept, because they were depending upon themselves. To the point where, if we look at through the story that we're going through, God took things in His own hands. And throughout the story, throughout history, He laid the foundations for us to be truly His. Essentially, He did all this to bring Jesus Christ into the world, to save us from our own sins, to give us a source away from our own nature, which is self, to focus on Him. He gave us the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, so we might not just trust on our own strength, but on His Spirit guiding us. If you're one who's chosen to have Jesus as Lord and Savior, Healer, Sanctifier, King, then we are overcomers. And I put that in there because that's sort of our alliance credo, is we know the Lord as Savior, Healer, Sanctifier, the one who brings us into closer walk with Him, and our coming King. If we truly believe this, then we don't have to follow that pattern of like the Israelis. We don't have to worry about the idols. The Holy Spirit sees things in our lives. He will prompt us to do what we need to do. I just got really excited when I heard about Hezekiah. Each time something came up, he trusted God. We live in a world today that we got a lot of issues that are coming up. Some of the politics that are happening, the job situation that's going on, the economy. These are potential crises in our lives. But if we trust the Lord, we listen to His Holy Spirit, we pray, we actively seek time in His Word, and we actually spend time with each other, not just talking about the latest game or movie, but actually asking each other what's going on in God's life. Those are the things where we know that God is with us. last week when the worship team was singing, You Are My Vision, I really was struck. I've heard that song from the Rend Collective for a couple of years now, and I really enjoy their music. But a lot of times they take music that we've been singing for years, hymns and stuff, and they just give it that Irish swing to it. But it really struck me, you know, in listening to and reading Hezekiah and what's going on there and what our lives should be. I really enjoyed listening and singing that song last week. And I just want to read the words of that song, because I think as we go forth, as we try to follow the Lord, it says, You are my vision, O King of my heart. Nothing else satisfies, only you, Lord. You are my best thought, day or by night, walking or sleeping, your presence my light. You are my wisdom, you are my true word. I ever with you with me, Lord. You're my great father, I'm your true son. You dwell inside me, together we're one. You're my battle shield, sword for the fight. You are my dignity, you're my delight. Your soul's my shelter, you're my high tower. Come and raise me heavenward, O power of my power. I'd like the worship team to come up now. And we're going to sing this song, but I'm just going to finish reading it while they're coming up and getting ready. I don't want riches or man's empty praise. You're my inheritance now and always. You and you only, the first in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure you are. High King of Heaven, when victory's won, may I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of my heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, ruler of all. Whatever we go through, whatever circumstances, whatever crises, whoever comes against us, the Lord is our vision, our hope, and our strength.